A number of things to talk about in this article as well. One of the things that the kinds of activities they're talking about there, the horrible sadism, the bestiality, having to eat feces and drink urine, those are typical of many of the kinds of activities described by Maury Terry in The Ultimate Evil. The process people are solidly into that kind of thing, the animal mutilations, child sacrifice, and things of that kind. Now, during the phone-in section of last week's broadcast, among the motives of the kiddie porn and the videotapes and the snuff flicks we kicked that around with a listener. And one of the things that I mentioned at the time was that there are basically American politics is run by four B's: bullets, bribes, beds, and blackmail. And I voiced the opinion that among the things that among the intelligence activities being covered by the process, quote unquote, were in fact political blackmail. That many people have bizarre sexual tastes, and that these kinds of things are ideal, you know, meaning videotapes of this kind of thing are ideal blackmail devices. So this also is worth thinking about. Also worth thinking about the fact that, although we're not going to go into it here, you can find out enough about the child molestation case in the Presidio. There's a lot in the news. But a former Baptist, Southern Baptist minister has been implicated in the case as well. And that's interesting because David Berkowitz began going off the beam, so to speak, the Son of Sam killer, while he was in the Army. And specifically, Berkowitz, who was of a Jewish background, converted to the Baptist faith and became a Christian fundamentalist, again, while in the Army. One wonders whether that in any way connected up with either some of the Temple of Set people or some of the mind control activities, which I suspect the process is a front for. Again, that's no hard connection by any means, obviously, but it is, as we like to say, food for thought and grounds for further research. Okay, back to our discussion. We're now going to begin looking at some of the explicit Nazi elements of the Temple of Set and Michael Aquino, and we're going to take a look at this against the background of Nazism and the occult. Now, specifically, Nazism itself grew in considerable measure. We're not talking about the international geopolitical connections, the doctrinaire anti-communism, which won them the support of industrialists around the world, or things of this type. But we're going to begin taking a look at some of the more abstract philosophy that gave rise to Nazism. And it's worth noting that Nazism grew directly out of the occult, and we're going to talk about that now. First, let's take a look at some of the explicit Nazi practices and inclinations of the Temple of Set. Reading now from the San Francisco Chronicle of Tuesday, November 3rd of 1987. It's an article by John Whittinger, W-H-I-T-I-N-G-E-R, and Bill Wallace, headlined, "Army Says Constitution Lets Satanist Hold Top Secret Job." And we're not going to read the whole story. We're going to skip down. According to Temple of Set literature that Aquino acknowledged writing, the active reserve officer believes in a coming apocalypse in which only followers of Satan will be saved. Quote, "For mankind now hastens toward an annihilation which none but the elect may hope to avoid," he has written in The Book of Coming Forth by Night, unquote, a work of Satanist scripture. And Aquino also has conducted occult rituals patterned on ceremonies conducted by Nazi leader Heinrich Himmler in a German castle once used by the Nazi SS for black magic ceremonies during the Third Reich. Nazis consider the black arts and satanic worship part of an ancient Germanic tradition. Aquino, in his book Crystal Table of Set, writes that he performed the rituals to recreate an order of knighthood for followers of Satan. He has encouraged, this Aquino now, he has encouraged his followers to study the beliefs of the Nazi terrorist group the VEHM, spelled V-E-H-M, and the Tula Gesellschaft, and the Annamerba, two fanatic right-wing Aryan groups that existed before and during Hitler's reign. Tula Gesellschaft, by the way, is spelled T-H, capital T-H-U-L-E, capital G-E-S-S-E-L-S-C-H-A-F-T. Annamerba is capital A-H-N-E-N-E-R-B-E. The article goes on. Aquino, who makes no secret of his involvement in satanic worship, told the Chronicle, quote, "We are here for people who are seriously interested in the philosophy. We realize that many people are apprehensive about this. People fear what they don't understand. And because they fear it, they can also work up horror stories about it." During an interview in St. Louis, where he is now stationed, Aquino gave the Chronicle a copy of The Crystal of Set, a collection of writings from the Temple of Set which serve as the organization's Bible. The book contains descriptions of the use of, quote, lesser black magic, unquote, and greater black magic, unquote, and classifies temple members into various orders, such as the Order of the Vampire, the Order of the Trapezoid, and the Order of Bast. A passage describing the Order of the Vampire says members of the temple will study such legendary vampire powers as invisibility. In fact, these same powers are possessed by Setians, the book says, Through our black magic, then, and in the ways that are special to the children of the night, we will further enhance and develop our powers, unquote. One section of the book contains a reading list for temple members on the subjects of fascism, totalitarianism, and magic, unquote. Again, quoting, many of the techniques pioneered by the Nazis continue to be used and abused, generally in a superficial and ignorant fashion, by every country of the world in one guise or another, the book says. The magician, again quoting, the magician who can recognize and identify these techniques and the principles behind them can thus control or avoid their influence as desired, unquote. The list refers temple members to such works as Mein Kampf, Hitler, the Occult Messiah, and the Occult Roots of Nazism. Army regulations state that security clearances can be denied to people who espouse subversive political views, but the temple stops short of advocating Nazism. I would interject, that I think is the opinion of the authors here. It doesn't seem to me they stop very short at all, and we're going to go into that. Again, continuing with the article, Aquino, quote, has not tried to disguise his activity in any way, Rickson said. The fact that he is outside the mainstream of American religious beliefs, and he is clearly outside the mainstream, is not relevant. As I said, no doubt the kinds of activities that Satanists, these Nazi/Satanists engage in, would be totally repugnant to many members of our national security establishment. However, it should be noted that, as this article indicates, I think all too clearly, there are others that will tolerate this thing very, very nicely. At the point is, his security status was reviewed, and he was not only his top security clearance was reinstated, but he was given a promotion. Reading another section of the article, Aquino, a psychological warfare officer who has worked in military intelligence, holds a top secret security clearance that allows him to handle information whose release would, quote, gravely, unquote, damage U.S. security, according to Defense Department regulations. He maintains the clearance even though he has performed Nazi occult rites and has described himself as the Antichrist in literature published by the Temple of Set. So again, it's fairly disturbing, but apparently there are people within our national security establishment and apparently some in a controlling position who do not find this kind of activity reprehensible at all. And indeed, one of the things we talk about so often on these broadcasts, the background of the Galen Organization, the paperclip scientists, it shouldn't come as all that surprising to see things of this type. Now, there are a number of things to bite on in this article. First of all, we're going to take a look at the occult ceremonies of the SS and Heinrich Himmler. A couple of other things to take note of here. Actually, three things. The Vehm. I was unable to find any reference to the Vehm, spelled V-E-H-M here. I suspect, since it's described as a Nazi terrorist group, that may be an alternate spelling or pronunciation of the FEMA, F-E-H-M-E. That was the traditional and ritualistic group which had been used by the Junkers to dispatch peasants who, in one way or another, or people who in one way or another threatened their hegemony in Prussia. Now, the Nazis then revived the Femic killings, as we looked at in Radio Free America number 10, and the Freikorps and Black Reichswehr killings were operating under a Femic cover. I suspect that the Vehm, V-E-H-M, and the FEMA are one and the same, but again, if anybody can find a reference to the Vehm, please let me know. I haven't found anything about it myself. We're also going to take a look at the Tula Gesellschaft and the Annenerbe. There's an inaccuracy here in describing the Annenerbe. It's described as a fanatic right-wing Aryan group that existed before and during Hitler's reign. In point of fact, the Annenerbe was the SS Ancestry Research Branch, and we're going to take a look at that. It was actually an organ of the SS. That's also worth noting in this article that, according to this Major Rickson, Aquino stops short of advocating Nazism. That's the interpretation of the authors and Mr. Rickson. He has his followers read Mein Kampf. I think that at least suggests that their analysis is theirs and theirs alone. At any rate, we're going to begin taking a look now at the occult origins of Nazism. That's all we're going to have time to play for this evening. In fact, that was all we intended to play for this evening. There were a number of other articles on the docket for this particular broadcast. We're simply going to postpone those and take those up next week. As I say, this is the first installment of two, probably three, possibly 4 weeks of straight archives. I apologize to those of you who are hankering to make phone calls and assure you that you will get your chance in the future, but this stuff has been building up for some time, and I think it's time to break this particular research logjam. So again, we're going to come back to a number of articles relevant to the Temple of Set and other things next week. Again, vis-a-vis Michael Aquino, bear in mind his background on the Green Beret and also the SS origins of the Green Beret that we discussed in Radio Free America number 2. Also worth reflecting on against this background. That winds things up for me. Now, hopefully Nip Tuck will be back next week and we'll have two voices instead of one. At any rate, again, the articles that we left off at the end of tonight's broadcast will comprise the beginning of next week's program.
The people who ultimately hear this on tape, this is the conclusion of the first part of Ultimate Evil 2. Maybe we'll just do it Ultimate Evil 1, 2, and 3. This broadcast is coming on May 8th, 1988, the first part on May 1st of 1988. We're going to look at six articles, the first dealing with a brutal murder of a woman at the Presidio. This may or may not be connected to the Temple of Set, but we're going to examine this against the interesting death of a warrant officer, a former warrant officer who operated out of the Presidio. We're going to reflect on these deaths against the background of the Presidio case, and then we're going to take a look at the... following that, we're going to take a look at the dismissal of the Presidio child molestation case. We're also going to take a look at an interesting action by the U.S. attorney who was responsible for dismissing that case, in which he returned money from a cocaine deal to the alleged Contra supporters who had been involved in this particular operation. Questionable doings on the part of U.S. Attorney Joseph Russoniello, perhaps taking the notion of judicial restraint a bit too far. And then we're going to take a look at the untimely death of the woman who had brought the charges in the McMartin child molestation case down in Southern California. And again, for the benefit of people who are tuned in to the original broadcast on May 8th, last week we began by taking a look at gay satanic cults. Specifically, we took a look at the killing of a fellow, a derelict, a so-called John Doe, by a man named Clifford St. Joseph. He was recently convicted and sentenced, and he brutally mangled this particular individual, drained his blood, and was reported to have done so as part of a gay satanic rite. We then took a look at another alleged gay satanic connection of a fellow named either Jeff or James David White, depending on your the article that you chose to read. And this fellow apparently had connections to occult groups related to or similar to, in some respects, the OTO. And again, not necessarily talking about the OTO per se. There are groups that use their name. There may be offshoots. There may be infiltrated sections of OTO. I didn't want to go into it. We talked about it last week. For appropriate qualifications, please see the 5 or 10 minute qualifications in last week's broadcast. The thing that we were reflecting on with the case of James David White is that he has tested positive for AIDS, and there were unsigned typewritten charts of letters in his apartment and charts of his lovers, and apparently a lot of the children that he is alleged to have molested may have AIDS now. Some of them test positive to AIDS, and again, we were reflecting on this against the background of the Fritz Harmon case, in which a fellow who was an imbecile, a lunatic supposedly, but also happened to be a homosexual and a police informer who ran his own network of informers, and the police informer in Hanover, Germany, being Gustav Noske, the former defense minister of the Weimar Republic, the fellow who put together the Freikorps and so forth. We took a look at the Fritz Harmon case, and we reflected on the James David White case against the background of the Fritz Harmon case. We talked about the pliability, the political mileage that could be made from the notion of gay satanic faggots from hell molesting children, you know, with AIDS, you know, and that'll go a long way in election time. Again, gay child molesters from hell with AIDS, that'll wash. That will definitely play in Peoria. It's marvelous grist for the right-wing mills, in much the same way as the Fritz Harmon case served to tar liberal politics in Germany with the onus of sexual perversion and murder and so forth. It's worth noting, too, that in the Fritz Harmon case, one of the aspects which we did not stress at the time when we first did it was that one of the more spectacular aspects of the testimony involved Harmon's statements that during a sexual frenzy he bit open the necks of his victims, thereby conjuring up tales of vampires and werewolves, not unlike some of the rites that have been performed in some of these satanic rituals. We then reflected on those rites against the background of the documented desensitization programs employed by the military in order to help form the personalities of some of their mind-control assassins that are used for sensitive assignments around the world, like killing presidents, things of this kind, in or out of the United States. And we played excerpts from Radio Free America number 5. We then reflected also against we reflected on the Temple of Set and on satanic cults, the specific Nazi groups that we're talking about, as perhaps being analogous in some ways to the SS training castles, the Ordensburgen, in which the recruits who ultimately were to serve in SS units were deliberately hardened through brutal training procedures and made insensitive to the death not only of others, of their victims, but of their comrades as well. Recall the passage from the Black March, an autobiography of an SS man. in which at the Sonthoven training facility, a bunch of recruits were given 20 minutes to dig foxholes, at which point Ben's armored cars went right over them, and if they didn't dig deep enough, they died, and some of them didn't dig deep enough, and they died there. However, this was seen as simply a way of hardening the SS recruit to death, including that of his comrades. We reflected on some of these satanic rituals as, in fact, serving perhaps the same purposes as the desensitization proceedings described by Dr. Narut in Operation Mind Control by Walter Bowert. That, by the way, was the book from which the passage came last week. I don't know if I ever made that clear. Operation Mind Control by Walter Bowert. At any rate, then we looked at the Temple of Set, including some of the SS rituals performed by Michael Aquino in the Temple of Set. And we reflected also on the utility of satanic cults as possibly being ideal vehicles for sexual blackmail. The proceedings of some of these child molestations were apparently filmed. Also great ways of trafficking in drugs, trafficking in arms, prostitution, and also, of course, of eliminating political rivals, using assassins who then can be labeled as low nuts or, if need be, disposed of or used as the next victim in the satanic ritual. And again, we're not talking about the Dibble. We're talking about a particular type of occult group being used as a vehicle for explicit political activity, for criminal political activity. And so, again, it is a beautiful front for this kind of thing precisely because it almost automatically lends itself to sensationalism or ridicule. But with that brings us, that's a brief account of what we looked at during the 3 hours last week. That's where we've gotten to now. And we concluded the program last week with about 40 minutes on the Temple of Set, some of the connecting links between people like Anton LaVey and Roman Polanski, some of the people connecting up with the Sharon Tate, Roman Polanski, or Sharon Tate LaBianca killings down in Southern California, and again, the Manson family apparently being part of the process umbrella cult, an apparent front for espionage activity and Nazi espionage activity at that.
All right. From the San Francisco Chronicle for March 1st, 1988, the article headlined Presidio Woman Brutally Slain. The article is by L.A. Chung, a Chronicle staff writer. The wife of an Army sergeant was found brutally beaten, shot, and stabbed to death in the couple's Presidio home Sunday night, an FBI spokesman in San Francisco said yesterday. Cheryl Stevens, age 27, was found shortly after 7 p.m. in a pool of blood in her living room. Her husband, James, discovered the body after he returned from a weekend in Vallejo with the couple's small children. The Stevenses had hundreds of neighbors who might have been expected to hear or see the commotion at the apartment on 1585 Stillwell Drive, part of the Pershing housing area overlooking Baker Beach and the ocean. Nonetheless, the FBI has no leads in the case, said FBI spokesman Chuck Latting. Latting said Presidio residents should not worry that an individual is stalking the wooded grounds. He declined to say whether Mrs. Stevens may have known her attacker. Mrs. Stevens, who is from Wichita Falls, Texas, put up, quote, a real fight, said Latting. Three bullets tore into her upper body and a bullet grazed her head, according to early findings of an autopsy conducted at the Letterman Army Medical Center. She also had numerous stab wounds and bruises on her neck, arms, and hands, a San Francisco coroner's report noted. Investigators found a large kitchen knife near Mrs. Stevens' left hand and a smaller knife broken in two beside her right hand. According to the coroner's report, an earring, jewelry, charm, and bullet fragments were scattered on the floor. There were two bullet holes in the living room window and two more elsewhere in the room. An Army spokesman would not comment on whether security has been tightened since the murder. This is the third slaying on Presidio grounds in 10 years, said Presidio Public Affairs Officer Bob Mahoney. Okay, a couple of things quickly that are unusual about this case. Obviously, as is standard, as we always mention, there's no particular information that we have that suggests that this is an out of the ordinary case, except the circumstances which we're going to talk about and the fact that it did take place at the Presidio, whereas we have been talking about there have been a lot of very strange things happening lately. Now, one of the things that's very interesting is that the suggestion that she might possibly have known her attackers. Of course, one of the leading bits of circumstantial evidence apparently for that is the fact that this person was able to get into the house and at least begin this rather violent murder before enough noise was made by the victim to have alerted anybody. Now, again, they're not living out in the middle of nowhere. They, you know, according to the article, they have hundreds of neighbors. They're living in an apartment, essentially, in the Pershing housing complex, so one would think there's probably people within, you know, 10-20 yards in any given direction. Nevertheless, it was an extremely brutal murder, beaten, stabbed, shot, and nobody seems to know, or at least if so, the investigators aren't saying anything yet. So the first question would be, did she know her attackers? How were they able, if not, to get into the house quietly enough that no alarm was raised? And, you know, were they using silenced weapons? That's kind of unusual in an ordinary burglary or something of that nature.
One of the fine things that occurred to me in connection with this killing, again, one of the striking things is how thoroughly mangled this particular woman was, and yet, as the article said, apparently not even the neighbor's dog, which is very sensitive, was aroused by the violence. This may have nothing whatsoever to do with the Temple of Set or the child molestations at the Presidio, and we should say that, but I just found this, again, from the various intelligence-related cases that we have seen, so often key witnesses do wind up in various kinds of dead and in connection with the cases. So we are examining this as a possible connection to the Temple of Set case. Again, in the category of food for thought, grounds for further research, holds here. That having been said, one of the things that occurred to me was that one of the Chronicle articles about the Temple of Set, it quoted Temple of Set literature and talked about the Order of the Vampire and said that that's one of the, I guess, religious ranks or religious plateaus that one can achieve within the Temple of Set, that the members of the Order of the Vampire possess characteristics or powers the traditional vampires had, such as invisibility here. Now, I myself don't believe in invisibility as such. Both the United States and Russia, as it happens, having looked into the possibility of invisibility and are reportedly doing research on it, I have seen nothing that would indicate that either side has been successful to date. But what I wonder about, and remember, with Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino is not only an intelligence officer with a top secret clearance, he's a former Green Beret, he also was a mind control specialist, and I wonder if invisibility here can be seen as a metaphor for perhaps intelligence protection, in other words, operating under the auspices, official auspices that would make one, quote, invisible to public scrutiny, at least the official media. I also wonder perhaps if invisibility here could perhaps, if we are, again, if our hunch about the Temple of Set as an intelligence front is correct, if invisibility here could refer to some sort of advanced penetration technique that may have been used on this poor woman.
Yes, not only does Michael Aquino have his background in the Green Beret, but of course there was his little pilgrimage to Germany and his stop at several places.
Wavelsburg Castle.
Including Wavelsburg Castle.
Where he performed the ritual of the day, performed a ritual in the Hall of the Dead.
Yes. And of course the SS connection, which is again not at all distinct from the Green Berets, as we have talked about in the past, and we won't belabor now. But again, within the SS, as with the Green Berets, there were large elements of people dedicated to essentially this kind of thing: silent penetration, silent killings, killings of terror to upset the enemy, whoever the enemy might be, to pass messages, to, you know, make a statement, et cetera, et cetera.
One of the projects that Michael Aquino worked on under Army auspices was something called mind war, in which basically no technique was to be spared, including the brainwashing of one's own citizens to achieve total victory. One wonders perhaps if this if the Temple of Set could be a manifestation of mind war, in spite of Aquino's protestations to the contrary. Again, his background, not only in intelligence, but specifically his role as a mind control specialist, is one of the things that has directed us in the direction of the Temple of Set. And we're wondering about this particular killing and whether it might be related to the Temple of Set. Recall also, it's interesting to reflect on the Order of the Vampire against the background of Clifford St. Joseph, where he drained the blood of this particular individual, and again the Fritz Harmon case, where some of Fritz's victims had their throats bitten open, and this helped panic all the women, all the mothers and children of Germany. Recalling also the article we looked at last week, in which reports of a satanic sacrifice of a small child panicked a Mississippi town and essentially resulted in very low attendance at the public schools, this coinciding with Good Friday and Easter weekend. So if the notion of people mass panic over the reports of satanic child killings and so on and so forth seems a little extreme to you, again, reflect on the Fritz Harmon case, the thing in Mississippi, and in particular James David White, the gay child molester from Hell with AIDS, who has been molesting everybody's children and perhaps giving them AIDS. That is marvelous, marvelous political ammunition.
Well, I also just wanted to mention in passing as reading the article that if they wanted to prevent the kind of panic that Dave was alluding to that took place in this Mississippi town, telling the people that they shouldn't worry, which is exactly the quote, Latting said Presidio residents should not worry that an individual is stalking the wooded grounds, they're really, it's not the most effective shot that they could take as far as calming and quelling the fears of the local residents. Don't worry. Right?
Well, it's interesting to find out the circumstances of the other murders on the Presidio grounds, too, in the last 10 mm-hmm. years. Now, the next article I'm going to read really serves as food for thought for the following article. And again, all three of the two articles we're going to read now and the one before it belong in the food for thought and grounds for further research category.
You know, I was just going to say, and we will leave, maybe if we get phone calls later, somebody can help us. I think we covered one of the other Presidio cases. I think that one of the other Presidio deaths cropped up on our show, probably not recently, but within a
few
years. So
could be.
If somebody out there remembers, maybe they can give us a call later on.
Alrighty. Now, reading from the San Francisco Chronicle of Friday, November 20th of 1987, an article by Bill Wallace and Don Garcia. Its headline, Satanic Church Leader Files Claim Against San Francisco. The founder of a satanic church has filed a $1 million claim against the San Francisco police for searching his home during a child molestation investigation earlier this fall. Lieutenant Colonel Michael A. Aquino, who describes himself as, quote, the high priest, unquote, of the Temple of Set, a satanic religious organization, has asked the city to pay $1 million in damages as the result of an August 14th police raid on the Russian Hill home he shares with his wife, Lilith. Now, note that the raid here took place on August 14th. Skipping down on the article, Aquino's home at 2430 Leavenworth Street was raided on August 14th by police, FBI agents, and officers from the Army's Criminal Investigation Division, armed with a search warrant authorizing them to look for evidence of child molestation. Now, note that this particular raid involved, in addition to San Francisco police, officers from the Army's Criminal Investigation Division. And listen to that and evaluate that against the following article from the San Leandro Argus. I believe it's the San Leandro Argus. It's an East Bay newspaper called the Argus. I believe that is the newspaper from San Leandro.
Again, from the Argus for Tuesday, March 1st, 1988, the article is an obituary for Richard L. LaForce, capital L-A, capital F-O-R-C-E. Richard L. LaForce, age 65, died of cancer at home Saturday. LaForce, a native of Rye, Colorado, had recently retired from a 40-year career as a warrant officer in the Army's Criminal Investigation Division, working out of the Presidio in San Francisco. Until becoming ill, he had been running his own business, doing tax consulting and business accounting. Should we go down and read the rest of this?
I don't think that's necessary.
I don't think it is either. So anyway,
all the relatives, et cetera.
Right. So Richard L. LaForce, an ex-warrant officer in the Army's Criminal Investigations Division. Operating out of the Presidio, died.
And he died on, the obituary is from March 1st. It says recently retired from a 40-year career, where we wonder if perhaps, now one of the things to remember about the Presidio child molestation case, by the way, one of a number of child molestation investigations at Army and military daycare centers around the country, one of the things to bear in mind here is that the first allegations of child molestation and the first investigations, which initially turned up nothing, began in 1982. So this is a case that dates back to 1982, and one of the things that the parents who have been filing private civil or civil suits in connection with the case have been maintaining is that the Army was negligent, that the accounts were surfacing from 1982 onward of child molestation. Now, it's a matter of public record, and we've discussed it on numerous occasions, that the U.S. National Security Establishment had perfected ways of giving people cancer as a means of assassination by 1954. This from declassified Freedom of Information Act documents. And we're wondering here whether the death of Richard L. LaForce may be in some way connected with the child molestation case and the Temple of Set, and or the Temple of Set. It should be noted again that, as I said last week, to date there have been no indictments in the of Temple of Set personnel in connection with the Presidio child molestation case. In fact, the Presidio child molestation case is pretty much gone out of the window altogether, as witnessed by this following brief article. This from the San Jose Mercury News of Tuesday, April 19th of 1988. It's an article by Linda Goldston of the Mercury News staff. It's headlined, Abuse Case at Presidio Quietly Closed by U.S. The U.S. Attorney's Office apparently has quietly closed the investigation of sexual abuse at the Presidio Daycare Center without seeking more indictments from a federal grand jury, as the prosecutors had vowed less than 2 months ago. The move means that no one will have been held responsible for the alleged sexual abuse of more than 60 children at the center, which is run by the U.S. Army at the Presidio of San Francisco. U.S. Attorney Joseph Russaniello said Monday that the case has not been formally closed, although FBI agents involved in the case have told parents, quote, the official document closing the case is being written. Well, there are a number of things that are disturbing about this, not only the fact that 60 children were molested with apparent impunity, but one of the reasons that the case was thrown out is that the judge ruled that the children's testimony wouldn't be valid unless they could name the dates, the specific dates on which they were molested. Now, preschool children generally are not real cognizant of individual dates, particularly on a day when they not only were traumatized to a significant degree, but may have been drugged and placed under a degree of mind control.
However, we are out of time. 30. That concludes One Step Beyond for this evening. Stay tuned now.